This is an interview with Mr. Young Allen for the Southern Oral History Project's Long Civil Rights Movement series. The interviewer is Melinda Maynor. The date is February 16th, 2004. The interview is taking place by telephone. Mr. Allen is in Kinston, North Carolina. Melinda Maynor is in Pembroke, North Carolina.
Degree, and I started teaching at St. Paul's, and I was a high school coach. I stayed there 2 years there. I did teach. I taught 2 years at Carthage. That's where I met my wife before I came to Robeson County.
Mm-hmm.
We got married and decided we wanted to move away. Had an opportunity to come, and I was a high school coach and teacher at St. Paul's. She was teacher also. I stayed there 3 years. I had finished my graduate degree and principal certificate, and I went to Roland as a principal.
Okay.
Principal of school at Roland.
Mm-hmm. And how many years did you stay there?
I spent about 3 or 4 at Roland as principal, and then I went to Lumberton to be assistant superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
I was assistant superintendent under Mr. B.E. Littlefield for 9 years.
Tell us a
he
little
retired,
bit about...
I became superintendent.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how you first got that job, if you don't mind.
My first what?
How you first got that assistant superintendent position.
I don't know. I was just chosen, and I think that one is that I've always been active, is moving around and there so forth. Mr. Littlefield was older and didn't move about that much, but anyhow, he was a mighty good fella. Many of your buildings there are there because he was very much noted for the construction of schools. And I think that he chose me. I would make this statement. There were only 4 other assistant superintendents in the state when I became assistant superintendent in Lenoir County, in
uh-huh.
Robeson County.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Only 4 others.
Okay.
And I was very much involved, and one of the first involvement was trying to get our schools accredited by the state and then by the Southern Association. Most of them was not a prejudice of the state. We had a lot of work to do to get that done, and that was one of my prime assignments as assistant superintendent.
Mm-hmm. So that must have been then in the
what's that?
Right about 1960 maybe when you
it would
first...
be a little yeah
uh-huh.
yeah in the 60s.
Okay. Well, we sort of rushed through those first two questions. Is there anything you want to go back and say about your childhood?
I'll
go
back once again.
Okay.
I think I've already told you I was the youngest of 5 children, and I had a. Went right on through. I was on the GI Bill, so I could go to college in about any way. That's the finest piece of legislation anybody ever passed, mm-hmm. the GI Bill. You came out of service, and you could go to college with expense paid. And I came to Robeson County as a teacher and a coach at St. Paul's High School. I had been in graduate school before, and I had my principal certificate when I was at St. Paul's.
Mm.
And then after 2 years, I moved to Roland to become the principal of that school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a union school, grades 1 through 12. Then I'll go down to number 3 there.
Okay.
Robeson County schools had, at that time, it was a county schools with the county system. But it had 3 city units, Lumberton, Fairmont, and Red Springs were city school systems. You know what I'm talking about.
Right, I do.
City school district, and it had, say, Lumberton had a special school tax fit school. I believe Red Springs did. I don't know about Fairmont. And after being in Robeson for I think, 2 years, St. Paul's and Maxton became the city school systems.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done by an act of the North Carolina legislature. That it had to be done by a legislative act.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 5 city school systems and the county system.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask you sort of a follow-up question?
What's that?
Do you mind if I ask you sort of a follow-up question there? Just further about how they were organized?
I don't. I think I've got somewhere else down here.
Oh, okay. Well, just let's just keep going then along what you...
Yeah, I'm going to that question.
Okay. Before. Go ahead.
Our biggest job right then was what was my biggest effort at that time was working on improving instruction and seeking not only instruction improvement but accreditation of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came, I don't know whether the school was accredited or not, but that's what we worked on tremendously to become them, get them accredited. Then that's basically your first 4 and your 5th question. What was the reaction that took place from the, was that your question on
yep,
Brown versus
that's
Kennedy?
Right, uh-huh.
Huh?
Yes, that's right.
The reaction was very, very little. It really got very little publicity. It made the papers a day or so, but in North Carolina, it did not shake very much. It was one school system way out yonder in Kansas, and it didn't. We had enough problems of our own working, trying to provide the program and schools from it, and it didn't seem to be anybody much concerned about it. You see, that was in 54, Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 54, and desegregation really didn't hit us in Robeson County or any other systems in Robeson in North Carolina till the middle of 1970s. You had 20-some years later before it ever really got here.
Right.
Got into North Carolina.
Right. Did you feel anything yourself when you first heard about it?
No, I didn't. We didn't get, you didn't find anybody get very much dirt about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was way out yonder in one school system in far distant Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
No, we thought, well, when it comes, it'll come, and we will. And so I think we built some buildings thinking if it did, we would be, our schools would be well placed for them.
Mm-hmm. As in large enough or...
What's that?
Large enough schools or...
Yeah, and well enough located. As we get down in our questions, I'll tell you some of the problems that we have basically on location.
Right.
Of students and so
right.
forth. And the question about how did the people get in reacted, is it different? I don't know that they did anywhere in North Carolina, got very involved in that. It was something we discussed, what they were doing out in Kansas, but it didn't expect it to be coming here very soon, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hit here for nearly 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it hit everybody else at the same time. It gathered some people different ways that it handled it. So we looked at how did it really affect us?
Mm-hmm.
When we started to doing it. It when HEW began to send its people in the state, and so how did it really affect us? Well, we moved some teachers, and of course students moved too. We redrew some lines. I'll give you an example. I don't know whether you know You know, a good example would be Orem and Proctorville.
Mm-hmm.
That's down there in your southeastern part of the county. And there were two schools within 2 or 3 miles apart. One was black school and one was a black students attended it, and the other was white.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we made one of them the high school for all children, the other one the elementary school for all children. There were not very many Indian children lived there. Most of our Indian children lived from Fairmont back toward Roland.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a large school there outside of Fairmont. And then we had a school over near Roland for Indian children, Native American children we had there. You get down to what you asked me this, how did the people accept the community, the movement?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't have a very much improvement. The more concerned was to be able to move the children and have facilities to put them there. And the next one was the movement of some students and teachers, as I described to you previously.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the public's concern, is very much as like is always true in public schools. The public is concerned generally, how is it going to affect my child?
Right.
And they wasn't too concerned about what's going to happen over yonder on the other side of the county as they were what's going to happen here with my child or my grandchild. But anyhow, that's what we live and expect it with.
Mm-hmm.
You asked for a question of demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we had one sizable demonstration. I can't tell you the date right now, but anyhow, it was, I guess it was in about I'm not sure what year it was, but that was one you probably heard of, where we had a demonstration at the Board of Education office.
Mm-hmm.
The Board of Education office, where it is now, I guess it's the same place it was when I left.
Mm-hmm.
Down beside the school garages, that's where it is.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyhow, I had a demonstration out in front of it, and they had about 200 people or so, 200 or 300 people gathered out there. They were Indian people. And there's some interesting things about that demonstration. They had a meeting the night before. I can't tell you where, but it was somewhere in the Pembroke area, and preparing them to come. Now, that was led not by Allenoa County Indians. That was led by these Western Indian, Native American people from the tribes out, I can't tell you which state. There was one named Dennis Banks. He was one of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one named Russell Means. Have you ever heard those names?
I have, yes.
Russell Means.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Means and Dennis Banks came. They had a meeting somewhere in Pembroke the night before. We heard it, and the sheriff, Malcolm McLeod, knew about it, warned us it was coming. And then he said that there was some talk that they would take over the education building, and there would be some destructions of property. So it was the sheriff's advice that we hold them up at the door,
mm-hmm.
and we did as the crowd gathered. Amazingly so, I would make a comment here, is that one of the things that was most notable about that demonstration is that you could look out there and Lenoir County, I mean, Robeson County, excuse me, for saying Lenoir, I've spent 26 years here.
Right.
But Robeson County was, it had the various leaders among the Native American people, prominent people, that were leaders at that time, and had that we worked with, and they worked with us. They were very good people, and you have great. I have great respect for our Native Americans of the Lumbee people.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, but I won't tell you why we're talking about that demonstration before I go any further. The people who were demonstrating were identifying themselves as Tuscaroras.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you have anybody identifying that way now or not.
Some people.
But they were identifying themselves as they were Tuscaroras. Most of them were from the Maxton area back in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Most of who were demonstrated, what I started to tell you, the recognized people who were the leaders around Pembroke and around all across the county among the Native American Indian people, there wasn't any of them there participating in the demonstration. They could not be seen. They were not there.
Mm-hmm.
And they get up, and the people who were speaking and people was encouraging was people that I'd never seen or known before. I told you that they had two leaders from out from the western tribes. The argument that they had for protesting at that time, when you sat down with them, the leaders, is that they were opposed to integration of the school and mixing of the schools, because the mixing of the schools would greatly destroy the Indian culture. And they were protecting the Indian culture. Right, interesting argument. And even the fellows who was leading the demonstration seemed to be intelligent and fairly well educated, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they had, that was their argument, and that was the reason for demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
They did have a march in Kinston one time, and I will send you a clipping from a newspaper that came from with a picture of them demonstrating and marching down the street in front of the courthouse in Kinston.
Okay.
Not Kinston, I'm saying Lumberton.
Lumberton, okay.
Pardon me, I spent the last
That's all right.
years since I left here, mm-hmm. and I was superintendent here for 14 years before I retired.
Mm-hmm.
So pardon my words. other than demonstration, there was no violence, no destruction of property or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, we went at it the best we could, and I was, I thought we got through it very well,
mm-hmm.
and the people we worked with were very, very good people. You said, what was the most problem with the people in school desegregation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd answer that question by saying getting people to give the full cooperation was a problem. Most all parents and as might be expected, were looking after their own children in their own communities and not greatly concerned about what happened over yonder in the other community. But we were working with all the communities.
Right.
Now, there were five city units, and many of our, I'll explain that in a minute, that they had five city units, and white children and black children attended those white schools, but very few Indian children did. And if they were They said that our doors are open to you if you will come. But no, they wanted to go to their Indian schools.
Mm-hmm.
We had those, Dad. And who were persons that helped? You asked me that question.
Mm-hmm.
That did so much to help us. You named persons that were. And many I couldn't name them all. I couldn't do that. But there were people, we had some good leadership in the county, I think, at that time. Mr. Albert McCormick from Roland was chairman of the Board of Education. And he was about as the least one of prejudice that I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a fine job. And Mr. Harry Locklear was another member of the Board of Education who made a fine contribution, right, during the integration years. And there was another board member, was Mr. Thurman Anderson, who was a black board member. He was from down the Roland direction.
Mm-hmm.
Others who helped so much, it's difficult for me to start naming some without leaving out some of the most important. One was Albert Hunt. I don't know whether you know Albert Hunt or
mm-hmm,
not.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And Grady Oxendine
was a
very good worker with it. And then Ms. Ethel Hayeswood was a black supervisor and a very fine lady. Her husband was a black pastor there in Lumberton. Mr. and Ms. Grace Epps. Mr. Epps was the principal at Magnolia School, and that was one of the bigger schools in the county at that time, and of the Indian schools.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Epps was a supervisor in our office. Many principals, teachers made a fine contribution. People like J.C. Humphrey, the business manager, as I say, just people like Albert Hunt and principals from one side of that county to the other, I was proud that we had some good principals that they worked
mm-hmm.
with. You ask a question here I find difficult to answer. Describe a situation at Prospect School in the early 70s. I don't know that there was any great differences in Prospect and other places. A Prospect could have to be, a lot of pride in the community with its very strong church across the street from it. You know who I'm talking
mm-hmm,
about.
I do.
And it had a lot of pride. Earlier, there was some talk, not a proposal by the school board or the school system, but it was some talk that you might consolidate Prospect and Pembroke. Now, I'm talking about in the 70s there now.
Mm-hmm.
The early 70s, 60s, somewhere in there, with Pembroke High School. Prospect community strongly opposed any such talk of that. And they had some strong principals up there. They had Mr. Dow, and then Mr. James Jones, Mr. Danford Dow, Mr. James Jones. We had another leader up there who later served and sometimes who served on the Board of Education was Mr. Harbert Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very active and very outspoken and very made a good board member. Prospect, one of the counties, as I said, had one of the fine churches across the street there. And we had some of our strong teachers at Prospect and kept strong principal there all the time. So I don't know, as I've told you, it's any different from militaries. I said I could say about the same thing for many other schools.
Uh-huh.
So does that answer your question about?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I know that a lot of people in Prospect have described, have talked about their intense pride in the school, as you mentioned, and
yeah.
And some of the situations that they had there. Let's see, I'm trying to think now.
Yeah.
You know, about African Americans coming to the school in particular.
Uh-huh.
But in my interview with Mr. Jones, you know, and as well as the teacher assignments,
yeah.
You know, some of the parents at Prospect seemed upset about that. But mostly, I was thinking about the sit-ins
uh-huh.
of this, you know, the students who were assigned, I think it was to Oxendine School.
Yeah, Oxendine was a school that was way up there.
Uh-huh.
It was an elementary school, and it was about nearly to the Clowney line, but halfway between Maxton and Red Springs on that highway that went close to that highway.
Mm-hmm.
It was the longer distance. It was Oxendine School.
Right. There were several hundred students, it sounded like, who didn't go to that school, who were assigned to it, and instead went to Prospect.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that Mr. Jones talked a lot about.
Yeah, we had, let me tell you this, there's one thing I want to emphasize. The Native American Indian people of Robeson County had a great pride in their schools. And, they had a pride in their schools, and there's a background further to it that would lead it that up prior to the desegregation years, the Indian schools had been pretty much just about very much controlled by local school committees.
Mm-hmm.
And those school committees, they decided who they wanted as their principal, and even though legally you could outrule them, a board of education was almost impossible to do. And the next is that they hired their teachers. Now, I'm not putting them down anyway, but there was a lot of feeling that special folks, as families and so forth, were being looked after when they hire-selected their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody with the right connections with that committee would get the position. Well, as the time came by, we began to get more control of having professional people selecting the teachers. So that came about over wasn't a really easy thing to get into. And the committees, they made some fine contributions also.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not putting them down. I don't mean to be doing that. I'm just saying that was one of the changes that came, that you had to begin to, you couldn't carry this out countywide, integration, desegregation of what it was. Anyway, without somebody looking over the whole top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. It had a lot of things. Oxendine was up there. It was a feeder school for Prospect. But there were those. And you realize, too, the one thing that I had not discussed at this point was the five city school systems.
Mm-hmm.
See, Lumberton had a city school system. Red Springs had a city school system. They had a special school tax. Red Springs had a special school tax. Fairmont became a city school system while I was there, a teacher.
Hmm.
It became one, and Maxton did. Then about time I, that gave you four city school systems. Then you had Fairmont, Maxton, and St. Paul's, Lumberton, and Red Springs. They had city school systems, and they had in those cities schools for white children and schools for black children. But the Indian children went to their Indian schools. Mm-hmm. In fact is, they would tell you right quickly if they were here, any of those City School people, they were on the line with us at this time, that they would let it be known that they would accept the Indian children who come. But the Indian children went to their own schools.
Mm-hmm.
They preferred to go to the Indian schools. I remember efforts at sometimes trying to take a school bus route out of the city unit so they'd go to school there, but no. Don't take our school bus away from us. It's taking me to Magnolia. Mm-hmm. Do you follow me?
Yes, yes.
It's taking me to the school we want to, or taking me more to our school,
mm-hmm.
or my school. It was our school. And you have to give this for the fact that Indian people were proud of their schools. And proud enough, if you're in the superintendent's office, if they had a problem of facility or need for something, they were as quick to let you know as if anybody could be. And that's fine. I think they spoke out for their community schools, and very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Have I answered your question about the
hospital? Yes, I think so. That's
the other schools.
Yeah, that's
and the city units.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If I could ask you, why do you think those city units were created, especially in such small places like Maxton?
To have their own community. In the first place, remember this, Robeson County is the second largest county in geographical area in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
We've got 100 counties, and it is the second and largest. Sampson County has a few square miles more than Robeson.
Mm-hmm.
So you had people going to school from Maxton up by the Smiling School. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes, yeah. It's out on that eastern part.
From there to the other end of the county, the eastern side of the county, is a long way.
Mm-hmm.
That was always that you would take from down at Barnesville. You know where Barnesville is?
Sort of.
Below Fairmont, not far from South
okay.
Carolina line.
Right.
Or the Columbus County line.
Mm-hmm.
Not far. And from there to Parkton, you got a good long distance. So it's a large county. And the interest of people looking out where they knew they didn't know much about Parkton way up yonder, a good distance north of Lumberton, up by net about in the Cumberland County,
mm-hmm.
Not far from Fayetteville. They were closer to Fayetteville than they were to Lumberton. So you could look at that was a part of it, and then you had the district. So they felt more closer to it if they had a little Board of Education there.
Uh-huh.
I think to a great extent, the Indian schools with their school committees served as a little Board of Education to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good to have that community participation, but also you've got to have some professional guidance in it. And that's where I said the employment of personnel and so forth would sometimes sort of get out of hand of looking after my daughter or my sister's child or whatever it is when you're looking for a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't say this. We had some mighty fine teachers. Pembroke State and most all of our teachers that went into Indian schools went through Pembroke State, and I give credit to Dr. English Jones for doing his best to push to get good people through there,
mm-hmm.
and provide us the teachers. You've got another question that you asked me about the federal government and work with the federal government, HEW.
Right.
HEW was not greatly respected. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare was not respected anywhere in North Carolina. Many of those working in the field had little or no respect for the local leaders and little knowledge of public education. I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
One time when I was, while I was superintendent, somebody told me that that there were, one principal said there were some people, he found some strangers in his classroom, and they were in there looking at students and counting students and that sort of thing, and they didn't come by his office. And I called up one or two other school principals. They had the first thing too. They just appeared in their schools. And a little bit later, I found out from they were college students that had been employed on a temporary basis, Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, to go around. Well, Linda, there's no, I never turned in, to my knowledge, a false report of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
As to how many there were of this race or that race, I had filled out the records to the best of the information that we could get from school principals, and I don't think a principal changed any racial designations.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, they were in the school's count. Well, that happened. I know that I had them all come by, send by check to the office, and anyhow, they disappeared. They went away. But anyhow, I'll just go a little bit further
mm-hmm.
while I'm on this topic. Sometime later, not long later, I received an appointment by the president. President Nixon was the president. I received an appointment to serve on a presidential committee on school desegregation. The first meeting was in the Oval Room of the White House. That's the first time I'd have been in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But I met in the Oval Room in the White House. It was the president's office at that time. And I believe I'm right.
Yeah.
And anyhow, it was there that the question began to come up with questions, and I advised the committee and the president what had happened with the strangers that came in checking my school that we didn't know about. And the president said, "You mean they came and didn't even report to the superintendent or the principal?" I said, "They certainly did." But he said that would stop immediately. He'd never heard of that before.
Mm.
Well, anyhow, it did. We did get a letter right soon saying that would be ceased, and we didn't get a letter. It was sent to superintendents all over North Carolina, and I assume to other states too, the way it was addressed. But that was the reason that sorts of things, for instance, the next time that they came, HEW came, they didn't come to my office. They came down and reported to the transportation man who looked after the school buses.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the sort of thing that you didn't get very much respect from some of the folks that worked with you.
Mm-hmm.
That basically would answer your question relating to HEW. You asked the question there, why was it any more difficult to desegregate the schools in Robeson than it was other school systems? Well, I think first we didn't have just two races. We had four races by North Carolina law.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 1920s, they had a group of people that claimed to be Indians and identified themselves as Indian, but they went to the Indian schools and were not able to get in. And they ended up by taking it to the courts. And the courts recognized that And they had a ruling, and you probably have heard of the ruling. It said only Indians could identify who was Indians.
Mm-hmm.
So a committee of Indians had decided that the Smilings were not Indian, not their Indian people. As a result, the North Carolina legislature had to pass an act and set up a fourth race school for the Smiling children, and they had a little wooden school up there between on the Maxton Rowland Road right off, and then we came back later and built a small school out there for the Smiling school. I remember to go in the school one time there, and when they graduated the first student from high school, and I marched in with the principal, Mr. Bullard, and myself, marched in with and the speaker, who was an attorney from Rowland, to make a graduation address with one student. I doubt if any other superintendent could say he walked in with one student with a cap and gown, and he had the cap and gown that they asked me to provide for him, and he had a real sheepskin diploma.
Right.
I wish I knew who he was, but it was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, you had to answer the question, why was it more difficult? We had four races, and North Carolina recognized them as four different races. And then the distribution of races, the second reason that it was so difficult, is the distribution of races was not equally distributed in the county.
Mm-hmm.
For the areas between Lumberton and Maxton, and I don't know what it is now, but back then, from out there where the county home was to Maxton, the edge of Maxton, for a stripe, it would be several miles wide, there were very few whites or blacks living there. Back then, there were very few white children at Pembroke or anywhere around Pembroke, or black children. At one time, we had a little black school down there, and that was, I think it was closed when I went to Robinson, but it was down there somewhere not far from where your fairgrounds are.
Mm-hmm.
The fairgrounds are where they were when I saw them last. That was a little small school. So then that made it more difficult. And another reason for making it more difficult was those five city school units.
Mm-hmm.
There was five city school units for black and white children, but there were no Indian children for us to do it. And
to integrate.
When we said the doors are open for the Indian children, those Indian children expected those school buses to pick them up and take them, if they lived over close to Maxton or Red Spring, to take them to Oxendine or a Prospect.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing would be true with those that were living out toward Magnolia. They expected their buses to take them that. And there were those who argued, and I don't know who you'd argue with it, but let's say like when they had the demonstration given, that was a black white situation, and it shouldn't be affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't help for them feeling that way, but that's the way that many felt. I said the distribution of students, for example. You did take out there where Littlefield School is now. You know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know where it is?
I do, yeah. West.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
On a part of the county?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Well, there were very few that we had never had a black school between Lumberton and the Bladen County line.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any black schools there. Old up from Magnolia. We had one down at Proctorville. That's down the southern part. But not any black schools, had a few scattered ones, black children, but they had always gone to school in Lumberton.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't have the areas. As we had, then I told you, we had just almost solid Indian from Lumberton to Pembroke to Maxton.
Right.
And, of course, we finally built the Rex Renner School up there and to take care of the few Indians. It was in the northern part of the county up toward Parkton, but that didn't last very long. So anyhow, that may I put it put all that together, and it was it didn't make it very easy.
Mm-hmm.
So you put those parts. Now, what are some other matters I have not answered?
Well, I'm sort of wondering about the county school board.
I've left.
I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
What are some other matters that I have not answered?
Well, I'm sort of wondering about the county school board office and the board itself. When more Native American and African American people came onto the board and
the school board,
right,
it was no problem at all.
Uh-huh.
The reason it wasn't because beforehand, it was not soon after I began to be there that, and it might have been before, they had requested the legislators to let's put some black and white and some black and Indian people on the board. And then they got legislators, not election, but